الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه ومصطفى. أما بعد، لبست أخوتي قد تسوق باوت بريف is a reminder of the obligations that the Muslim has to fulfill in this life before he is buried in his grave, and where he cannot be returned to do what he missed from the obligations. The obligations are many. However, we are going to concentrate on the most common and important ones. The first obligation that the Muslim need to understand and fulfill is the obligation or the right of Allah. The right of Allah is in three categories or three forms that the Muslim has to fulfill. What are the rights of Allah? These are, first of all, you believe that He is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Universe Controller. There is no any other controller of this universe besides Allah. And Allah Ta'ala in this aspect needs for nobody to help, rather to be responsible of controlling part of his universe. And this thing, even the idol worshiper at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to believe in that no one has the control over the universe along besides Allah. Even those idols they used to worship, they admitted that these idols are only mediators between them and Allah. So if we believe that Allah is the only true deity, the only true creator, the only true sustainer, the only true controller of the universe, then we got to know the other right of Allah, which Allah Ta'ala has sent all prophets and messengers, since Nuh alayhi salam until Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, only to convey this to the mankind. From Noah, the message was descended to him from Allah, the Lord of all universes, to call the people to worship one God. It is the only true God whom he glorified be Allah, called them to know Him through His creation, through the global, through mountains, through clouds, rain, through day and night, through moon, sun, stars, through yourself. You yourself as a mankind is a great witness of the oneness of the Lord, the oneness of Allah. So Allah brought forward the evidences of His oneness and all around the universe. Everyone can easily recognize. It doesn't need an education. One doesn't need to be having a PhD to recognize the oneness of the Lord. Every simple man and woman can easily recognize the oneness of the Lord by what he can see around him and amongst himself. And then he needs to think, if that is the case, that Allah is the only true God, only true deity, why did he create me different from all these other creations? You see the animals, big elephants, whales in the seas, the oceans, lions in the jungles, all are big and great animals. But yet, you, as a mankind, is different from them. We see mankind train animals, but you never see animals training mankind. Why? Because the material of training is this, the brain, the mind, which Allah Ta'ala gave only to mankind. Why? It is for you to think, why I am the only creation given this? There must be something great behind it. After that, we said at the beginning that the oneness of the Lordship can be found by looking around yourself. However, what the God, Allah, created you for cannot be found by that. So there must be a message and a messenger. Allah Ta'ala said in His book, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We have sent to every nation a messenger to call them worship Allah, the only true God, and avoid the false deities. Every nation, Noah, Idris, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, all these are prophets and many others. The historical scientists say that there were about 125,000 prophets, messengers. But prophets are more than that, and some have different sayings. So Allah sent messengers, since He created mankind, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala all just. He won't punish any creation if he did not receive the message. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We will not punish until we send the messenger. But He subhanahu wa ta'ala made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the seed of prophets and messengers, and there they test the fear is existing, whether the creation will obey or not. So this oneness of Allah, which we said that the oneness of Allah and Godhood in worship cannot be known unless you know the message. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers. Not only Muhammad, no. He sent many messengers and He supported them with evidences. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the greatest evidence, which is the Holy Quran, which stands by itself. Until the day of resurrection, nobody can make the light, or nobody can deny the fact that science today is discovering. But Quran, 14 centuries ago, already brought the news of. So then, we have to worship Him alone, upon what He sent down to us. Not upon we like, no. Upon what He subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. The third sight of the oneness of Allah that a Muslim needs to fulfill as an obligatory worship is the oneness of Allah and His names and attributes. A Muslim is told to believe that Allah has names and attributes. His names all are beautiful. His attributes all are complete. That means no defect can come to him. Mankind stay awake, but the defect comes to his awakeness and he will fall asleep. The God, no. The God is awake all the time. No sleep. Because sleep is an indication of weakness. So mankind get weak and fall asleep. Hunger is a symptom or a sign of weakness. So when you are hungry, you can't do nothing. You just want to eat. So you keep some energy. The God, no. Tiredness. You become tired. You walk 1 hour, 2 hours, 10 hours. The strongest one day, 2 days, and then you feel tired. You can't even raise your hand because you are too tired. The God is no beyond that. Why? Because He is the one controlling the whole universe alone. So if He is the controller, He must not get thirsty, he must not get tired, must not fall asleep. Why? To keep controlling the world. So, by that you know that Allah has names all beautiful, attributes all perfect. No defect can come to it. This is the first right. In brief, this is in brief. The second right that a Muslim has to fulfill is the right of the messenger. In Islam, you cannot hate any prophet, any messenger. If you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most, but you hate any prophet or any messenger, then you are out of the parameter of Islam. You got this? You cannot hate Moses, you cannot hate Jesus, you cannot hate any other prophet or messenger. Muslims have to love all prophets and messengers all the time. And we believe in them all. As what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربي والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. The messenger believed from what been descended to him from his Lord. And the believers believed too. And their Lord, Allah, and the angels, and the books, and in all messengers, they differentiate not between the messengers. So they love them all. As a conclusion to that, we have to know the messenger of Islam, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, by three things. By his prophethood, by his message, by his character. You cannot separate between these. You cannot say, okay, I will take the prophet or the message, but not the character. I don't like his character. If one doesn't like the character of the Prophet, he's out of Islam. He cannot say that I don't like the character of the Prophet. Why? Because Allah recommended his character. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ يُعَظَّمُ. A grand character. No one can reach this level. You have to take his message. Why? Because Allah is commanding his son, وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He never speaks out of desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He is a revelation. All that he says, from what is related to the religion, is a religion. It is a revelation. So, we have to take all what the Prophet ﷺ came with. We got no choice. Some we take, some we leave. No. You have to take all what he ﷺ brought to you. The character, the Prophet first, you accept him as a Prophet. The message, you take the whole message. As he ﷺ said, مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنُهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَمَا نَعِيْتُكُمْ عَنُهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever I commanded you to do, do as much as you can. People today do not differentiate between two terms. You can, you lack. So people are taking from what the Prophet ﷺ wrote as much as they like. So if they don't like, they leave. Which is wrong. And can collapse the whole belief. One cannot choose. One cannot choose what he takes, what he doesn't. What he takes, what he doesn't. From what the Prophet ﷺ wrote. But you are told to do as much as you can. So if you can't do it, you got no choice. You have to do it. But if you don't like to do it, you have no choice. You have no choice. You got to do it. You got to do what you are told to do. This is the right of the Prophet. The right of the companions. We have to love them all. All of them. You have to love them. Hating one companion is a thing considered to be fisk. Fisk. And hating a regular Muslim for purpose of religion is fisk. You should not hate a Muslim if he is a brother. You should not hate him. The Sahaba are the selective creation amongst all to be surrounding the Prophet. They were his minister, advisor. They were his supporter. They were the real strong believers. So we got to love them all. Not choice. Not choice. We cannot take Abu Bakr. We cannot take Umar. We cannot take Uthman. We cannot take Ali. We cannot take any of the Sahaba. Any. We got to love them all. We got to love them all, no doubt. And we got to ask Allah to be pleased with them. Whenever we mention their name, we say Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu. And we got to love the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with no exemptions. All of them. All of them. We love Khadija. We love Aisha. We love Hafsa. We love Zainab. We love Juwayri. We love all of them. All of them. We cannot separate. We cannot choose. As long as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and he is pleased with all of them. So we got no choice to take any of them out. We have to love them all. And always ask Allah to be pleased with them. Then we have the right of the scholars of Islam, the ulama. And when we talk about the ulama, we mean the ulama who are upon the truth, upon the haqq, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. Whoever differentiate between the Quran and Sunnah. He's not from amongst the ulama of Haqq. Whoever finds it possible to put anyone's opinion before the Quran or the Sunnah, he's not from amongst the ulama of Haqq. He might have ilm. And I always say an example that I invented. I say mankind has two things. Mankind is combined of two things. What are they? The mankind is combined of two things. The body and the soul. Right? What is the benefit of the body if the soul is absent? What is the benefit of the body? No benefit. Yeah, we still know that this is the body of so-and-so. But we can't talk, we cannot talk to him. We cannot deal with him. We cannot. It's only a moment. The ilm has body and soul. The body of the ilm is these books where you see and read. Okay, information. These are called information. Okay? But the spirit of it is the faqh. The faqh doesn't come to you until you are sincere. If you are sincere, if you have sincerity and seeking knowledge, Allah will open all gates of faqh for you. The Prophet ﷺ subjugated Allah for Ibn Abbas, said, "Oh Allah, teach him the ilm and give him the understanding." Two things separated. Two things. Allah Ta'ala says, "Wattaqu Allah wa yu'allimukum Allah." Fear Allah and Allah will let you learn and know. What is the meaning in here? You fear Allah, this is sincerity. Then Allah will give you the understanding of the ilm you have. Many people read the ayat, cannot get any ahkam from there, any rules from there. But some others whom Allah Ta'ala gave them fiqh, immediately look and take extra. Look, for example, the recent one of them was Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He takes the text of Quran and brings you rulings from it. You say, subhanAllah, this is true. How did not I realize that before? I am memorizing the Quran. It's not only that. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كم من سال للقرآن والقرآن للعليم. There are many people who recite Quran, memorize Quran, but Quran curses them because they have no sincerity. No sincerity. So this is the third problem. The messenger, the ulama. We have to respect those ulama of Haqq. And we have to know one thing. The alim to be alim, he is not a messenger. The perfect ones amongst mankind are the messengers and prophets. But the alim makes ijtihad. Can be wrong, can be right. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. If the alim does ijtihad, if he has the material of ijtihad, not anybody comes and says, I do ijtihad. No. The nurse cannot make ijtihad and writing the prescription. He cannot. If the nurse gives prescribed medicine and the person dies, he's responsible. He's responsible because he's not a doctor. But if a doctor prescribes a medicine and the sick person dies, he's not responsible. Why? As the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man tabba wa lam ya'lam anhu tibbun fa huwa dhalim." Who gives medicine while he's not a doctor, he is responsible for the consequences. So the alim, as the Prophet ﷺ said, can make ijtihad. His ijtihad can be right, can be wrong. If it is right, he has double reward. If it is wrong, he has one reward. No sin. No sin. But you and I, if we make ijtihad while we are not people of ijtihad, and we make mistakes, then we are responsible for that, we are understand. So from that we know that the ulama has arrived. كم الوقت ذا؟ How much time is it? لكن how much time should we go? Okay. We have the right after the ulama. We have the right of the parents. I'm sorry, before the parents. We have the right of the Quran. The Quran. How will the Quran become before the ulama? What is the right of the Quran? The right of the Quran is to read. You don't ignore it. You don't abandon it. You have to read. Day to day, you have to read Quran. You have to read. Don't be from those whom the Messenger would come and they would reckon and say, my people have left Quran behind their backs. This is dangerous. Many people are having much time to read newspaper, magazines, watch commercials, etc., etc., but they don't have time to recite Quran. That is dangerous. Quran is like the fuel to your heart. As long as you recite Quran, your iman goes up. Besides recitation, you need to know the meanings of Quran. Knowing the meanings of Quran, you need to go back to the scholars of tafsir, like Ibn Kathir, Ibn Jarir, Al-Qurtubi, etc. So you know the meanings of the ayat you are reciting. And you need to essentially work with what it calls you to do. And you avoid what it forbids. Because it is bad to recite the Quran where it says, don't take riba and go take riba. So you are contradicting what you believe. Huh? Allah Ta'ala blames the people of the book, the people of the scripture, for doing that. أتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض. Do you believe in some of the book and disbelieve in some other? That's not good. Then we have the right of the parents. This right, many, many Muslims are not fulfilling it rightly. Allah Ta'ala showed us where is the parents. He joined their right to his right. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah commanded not to worship but Him. And you do good to your parents. You do good to your parents. وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship Allah and don't associate any partner along with him in worship, and do good to your parents. Why we need to do good to our parents? Because they are the cause of our existence in this life. So we have to treat them nicely. And Allah Ta'ala showed us the barometer of disobeying. Allah showed us the barometer of, or the boundary of disobeying. So if you see this, you are a disobeyer. What are those? Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. What is up? Your father says to you, he just came from work, tired, and he says, okay, go to the supermarket and bring me some bread. So, oh, I'm tired, man. Let's make it later. I'll send my brother. This is bad. This is bad. You have to respond immediately. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. They do something wrong, but not from the religious side. Even if it is wrong from the religious side, you still not to shout at them. You still not to curse them. You still not to treat them like your children. This is ignorance and arrogance. One should stay away from. You deal with your friends nicely. Allah Ta'ala said, even if they are a shirk brother, you still need to ask good of them. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If they struggle, so you worship other than Allah with them, don't obey them. But what? وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. It doesn't mean don't obey them and be harsh with them. No. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Be nice to them. Be nice to them. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as the scholars of Tafsir said, that Ibrahim was too nice to his father. To the limit that they said, Ibrahim used to call his father, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. They said, there is no softer word than this. Otherwise, Ibrahim has used it. The most soft word when you call your father. Ya Abati. And that's why he said, nobody is allowed to call his father by his name. Or Mr. Or a you. No, you have to choose the word when you call your father or your mother. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, when his father died, he said, I used to have to get to the paradise, and now when one is closed. So they are your guests in the Jannah. How? And the hadith says, the Prophet one day was climbing the minbar to give the khutbah. When he was healed by the Sahaba, saying Ameen on the first step, Ameen second step, Ameen on the first step, the Sahaba was surprised and asked, Ya Rasulullah, he said, Ameen, Ameen, and what is that? He said, Jibreel came to me and said to me, the person who catched Ramadan and cannot be forgiven, then his nose in the soil. And in the hadith, Allah took him away. Say Ameen. Prophet said Ameen. The second said, the one whom your name is mentioned before, and he did not say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his nose is in the soil. In other hadith, Allah took him away. Say Ameen. Prophet said Ameen. The third, Jibreel said, the one who finds his parents or one of them alive, but he could not make them to take him to the Jannah. How? By obeying them. His nose is in the soil, and Allah take him away. Say Ameen. He said Ameen. So look at that. So we have to respond to the parents nicely. Muhammad ibn Sirin, whenever he used to serve his mother the food, he never used to eat with her. He just sat like that. His students asked him, why? God, you know, from kindness, when you sit with someone on food, you eat with them. But Muhammad ibn Sirin never used to eat with his mother. He said, why? He said, I'm afraid that her eye goes to a piece of it and my hand reaches before it. Before her. See, he said, I'm afraid that my hand reaches a piece of food before her hand while her eye already seen that and wanted that. To that limit. To that limit. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to come to home, he used to come home and stand by the door and say, Oh, mom, may Allah send mercy upon you as you took care of me when I was a child. She said, Ya Abu Hurairah, may Allah send mercy upon you as you are treating me good when I am old. Look at that. It is great. So the kids need to deal good with it. Even when the parents are passed away, they still need to go and have a connection with the relatives of their parents. Good connection. They still need to visit their friends whom they used to sit to. They can't seek forgiveness. They can't give sadaqah on their behalf. The right of wives. There are a lot of rights for the wife. You cannot treat the wife like a slave. No. The wife is your share. Allah Ta'ala says, you both are a settling method for the other. One of you is the settling method to the other. And Allah Ta'ala said that one of you is the coverage of the other. One of you is the coverage of the other. So we have to act nicely with our wives. But what does that mean? Nicely is to let her do whatever she likes to do? No. To let her do whatever she likes to do, as long as it is with the parameter of the Sharia. The Prophet ﷺ knew that his wife Aisha, which was very young, she liked to watch people play with swords and like that, sticks. And the Christians came to Medina and they played in the masjid. His house was adjacent to the masjid. So he took Aisha on his shoulders. On the Prophet's shoulders. See what you are talking about. This is the Prophet. This is the Prophet. The most grand creation. So he took Aisha on his shoulder and she was looking, enjoying. He says, is it enough? She says, no. Keep quiet. Is it enough? No. Keep quiet. Is it enough? No. Keep quiet. Until she says yes. So he put it down. He was going, he was traveling for a battle, for war. And he was the head. He wasn't a soldier. Doesn't think of the matter. He was the head. And he took his wife Aisha with him. On the way, he said to her, because you know, women, when you go on the battle or you go on business, you have things to do so you don't feel boring. But your wife accompanying you has nothing to do. And not any other sister, so she sits talking. She feels boring. So he realized that. He said, do you like dressing? She said, yes. She wants some fun. So he told the army, the Sahaba, go for it. Leave us alone. So they went. And Prophet and his wife raised. And they laughed. Other problem, the same thing. So in the first problem, she won because she was young and tender. Later, after a couple of years, she became fat. So the Prophet ﷺ won the race. And they laughed. He said, one to one. Look at that. In shower, she, radiallahu anha, used to say, I used to shower with the Prophet ﷺ from one bucket, from the same bucket. And he says, leave some for me. I say, leave some for me, and we laugh. Look at that. When they sit to eat, he stays, he waits until she takes a piece of meat and bites from it. Then he says, show me, what did you buy? Which side you buy? And he bites from the same side where she bites the meat. Then she takes the cup to drink. And he said, show me, you know, that time, there is no lipstick, so it can't be allowed where she put her mouth. Okay? Today it is very easy. You can know, no? Very easy you can know. So, she enjoyed that. This is the way Muslim man needs to deal with his wife. Actually, this is, Allah Ta'ala made it to be your rahmah in this life. You need to ask that rahmah. Gifts. Like this, many things. Not to hold you for long, but also the right of children. They have rights upon you even before you get married. What are the rights of the children amongst you before you get married? It is to choose the best mom, best mother. You try to find the good woman that can be good mother for your children. Take care of them. Raise them on good manners and this. This is the one you marry to. So, and from the right of them is to choose good names for them. And to take care of them. Even if you are busy, you still need to take care of them. You need to sit to them, play with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to crowd and have one of his grandsons, Hassan al-Hussein, ride on his back and crowd. Then he says to them, was I a good camel for you? Look at that, subhanAllah. To this way, yani, he plays with the kid. He came to a child called Abu Umayr. He said, joke to them. Ya Abu Umayr, ماذا فعلنا غير? What happened to the bird? Abu Umayr used to have a bird with him. The bird died. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew. So he came joking to him. Abu Umayr, what happened to the bird? So like that. Rights of your neighbors. Even if they are non-Muslims. You know that in Islam, we have three kinds of neighbors. Muslim, relative, neighbor. Has three rights. Three rights. The right of Islam, the right of neighborhood, and the right of relationship. You have a neighbor who is not a relative but is Muslim. So you have right of Islam, right of prophethood. You have a neighbor who is not relative, who is not Muslim. He still has a right upon you, which is the right of prophethood. Huh? Sorry, neighborhood. Is it prophethood? No, neighborhood. Neighborhood. The Sahaba understood this very well. And that's why Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, whenever he used to slaughter a sheep, he tells his children to take part of it to the Jewish neighbor. Take part of it to our Jewish neighbor. Not because you love him, no, but because I am told to fulfill this right. So I have to fulfill it to this limit. You have right for the community. You have to be acting good in the community. Whatever community it is, Muslim community, non-Muslim community, you still have to act good. Even with the non-Muslim community, you cannot cheat, you cannot destroy, you cannot, you know, break the laws, no. You have to be with the law. You have to be a good member. At least this will be a good example. So people will know what is Islam. Will know what is Islam. The right of the rulers, Muslim rulers. We have to respect them, we have to love them, we have to obey them. Even if they do not fulfill the legitimate law, the law of Sharia. This is their mistake, this is up to them. See, if everyone make a mistake, we abandon him, we have no friend. Every one of us has nobody to talk to, even your wife, your children, because everyone has a mistake. You cannot just abandon the world because they are doing mistakes. No, you cannot. When the Prophet said, Some of the Sahaba came to him mentioning some mistakes of other Sahaba. He said, will you leave my companions for me? I like to leave this dunya, this world, while my chest is pleased with them. Don't tell me anything about them. If you have anything, you go and advise. But don't keep, you know, backbiting and, you know, spreading the evil. No, that's not good. That's not good. So you have to ask nicely in the community. In the community. And the right of yourself. You have right on yourself. You have to rest sometimes. You have to eat, but not much. You don't rest much, because many people today do not stand prepared at night. Why do they sleep? Work for the akhirah. Work for the akhirah. Food, you don't eat much. It's not. It's sufficient for one to eat some food that makes you stand and go and come. That's enough. And don't forget fasting, optional fasting, especially you in this cold country. You can easily fast. You can easily fast. And by the way, fasting and for optional fasting, optional prayer, optional worship is a great, great protector from the sins you see around you. It's a great protector. So if you want to have protection from falling into sin, do like this worship. Fast Monday, you know, 7 days. Fast 3 days, middle of the month. Fast anytime you are able to fast, fast. Except Friday alone. Some saints of the ulama, Sunday alone, but it's not yani agreed upon. But Friday, no, you cannot fast alone Friday. But yani do some fasting. Cold the country, have no problem with that. If you come to Medina, although it is very hot, you see people fasting there. You come Maghrib every Monday, Thursday, you see not people who are staying in palaces, no, even the laborers. You see Pakistanis, Sudanese, people who are working under the sun, they are fasting. They want to strengthen the iman. This is the way. أسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يجعلني وإياكم من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وأسأله عز وجل أن كما جمعنا في هذا المكان الطيب المبارك أن يجمعنا في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر ونسأله عز وجل أن يكسبنا ورود حوض نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم والشرب منه وأن يكسبنا شفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن يكسبنا صحبته في جنات النعيم إنه على ذلك قدير وبالإجابة جدير والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.